So a short reading this week, a reading that starts off with "As the evening came." So this is the same day that Jesus has been teaching through the parables in his boat pulpit. And it seems that after the public teaching, they've rowed across to a quiet spot for a short sort of open-air house group. You know, meeting to get together, to talk through the things that have been going on in those teaching sessions from the pulpit. It's a good thing to do, to get along to house group. I wouldn't recommend an open-air one at the moment, but you know, house groups are great times together. And so the disciples and as kind of wider group than just the 12 had sat there and Jesus had unpicked these things. And then the evening came. And they thought, wow, it's time to head off home. They jump in the boat. Jesus puts his head down for a nap after a long and busy day. And no doubt the disciples, well, they're probably really full of what a great day it's been. You know, it's one of those kind of, wow, you know, the sun was probably shining. It wasn't too hot. It was great. You know, this amazing teaching at this time. And there are all these big crowds and they're being buoyed up and really enthusiastic and really encouraged. And it was all brilliant. We all have days like that, don't we? Obviously, two or three a week probably. Wouldn't it be great? Well, we should have a few more of those if we get into God's Word and just see how amazing He is. But anyway, they'd have one of these days. I wonder, have you noticed in our apprenticeships as Christians that Jesus encourages us? Have you ever noticed that? He encourages us to learn the theory by getting into His Word. He encourages us to learn from the Master by staying close, by listening closely and living closely with Him. He encourages us to look out for one another, to love one another, to learn from one another, to disciple one another and be discipled by one another. Have you noticed all that encouragement from God? I know Gordon has. He said so already, but has anybody else, I wonder? God is such a great encourager. Just think about our verse for the year of encouraging us to keep meeting together, to keep meeting with Him, to hear from Him, to learn from Him, to be buoyed up and encouraged. And it's all there for us, isn't it, that encouragement? Do you know, isn't encouragement encouraging? But have you also noticed, too, that as well as that huge encouragement, that Christ tests us with the practical lessons of life? You see, it's very easy for you or for me to repeat the truths of the gospel on a fine sunny day when the birds are singing and it's all looking good in our lives. Oh yeah, that's really easy. Really easy. But it is quite another thing to live the truth of the gospel whilst in the storms of life. I think a few of you might know what I mean. Maybe you'll do. So it's no accident that a huge storm hit them straight after that huge encouragement. Jesus knew exactly what he's doing. He always does. He knew what he was doing. He sent his disciples headlong into testy, stormy waters. He knew. It wasn't a kind of role-play job, you know, a kind of, well, what would you do in this situation? Let's all sit around and talk about it for a bit. James, John, why don't you just pretend to be the storm and the rest of you just act it out? Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't do pretend. He doesn't do dry runs or management games. Jesus does real life and he does it with us. So this wasn't just a little bit choppy. This wasn't just a few white-topped waves in the distance. No, this was a storm that could sink a boat. Look again at verse 37. High waves were breaking into the boat and began to fill with water. Now, I'm very thankful that I've never had this kind of practical Titanic kind of boat experience. I'm guessing that most of us here haven't. I don't know whether Gordon and Joe have. They've been on the high seas doing their thing. But, you know, most of us here won't have been in that difficult situation, practically. But I bet all of you have had hard times in your life. Well, I say had, some of you might be in that place right now, when the storms are just a little bit too stormy. I wonder, have you cried out, or are you crying out as the disciples did? Don't you care, Lord? Really, don't you care? Having a kip in the back of the boat, what's going on? Are you not bothered? Well, of course he cares. Jesus dealt with what was going on around the disciples, didn't he? He dealt with the storm. He dealt with it in his own time, of course. I don't know whether you've ever noticed this either, that God doesn't seem to understand the urgency of your situation. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, isn't that amazing? You know, you want it and you want it now. And God says, well, oh, you'll have it when it's right. The truth is, of course, he understands a lot more about the timing than you and I do. He's just usually a bit slow in getting it, it seems to me, but he does understand it. So in his time, the storms will subside. Whatever it is, the storms that you're going through or have been through or will go through, those storms will subside. In his time, peace will come. But Jesus doesn't stop with that, does he? Now here, he wasn't just going to sort out that practical situation, that storm, those waves crashing in. Jesus wouldn't stop there. He doesn't stop there because for these disciples, their situation actually wasn't their greatest danger. How dare I say it? Well, I will say it because I'm like that. Your situation is never going to be your greatest danger, whatever that situation is. But how can I say that? Because you might be in a really difficult situation. You may have been in situations that you're just scratching your head thinking, that's really arrogant to say that. You'll find that your external situation will never be your greatest danger. Frankly, I often look at my situations and I wonder myself. But God will always remind me of this truth. If only we will trust him in our storms, then we'll be reminded. But it's not easy, is it, when you're in the middle of a storm to trust? It's difficult, especially when you think God's asleep at the other end of the boat. Just the way it was for those freaked out friends in the fury of that storm, isn't it? Their greatest danger wasn't what was going on around them. It was what was going on inside them. So I just say to us this morning, friends, let's get hold of that truth because it will serve us really well. Our greatest dangers are rarely going to be our circumstances. I would say never really going to be our circumstances. What can our circumstances do to us? Well, physical stuff. That's nowhere near as important as our eternity. There'll be all sorts of things that will be going on around us all the way through our lives. But our greatest need, our greatest danger is what is going on inside. I'll just say again, I don't want you to think that I'm making light of some of the hard, hurtful, and often the horrific things that will happen in our lives. I'm not. As a church, I just pray that you will find genuine love and care with life's ups and downs amongst us. But the truth is, if we don't let God in to help us in the hard times, to heal us in that hurt, to hem us in when it's getting really horrific, if we don't do that, the storms in our situations will sink us. See, I can say that what's going on the outside is not important, is not as important, but I can only say that if what is going on inside is right. You see, that's when the difference turns. What is going on the outside will become a real danger to us if we try and travel it alone, if we try and deal with it alone. Jesus says to you and me this morning, trust me, I am in the boat with you, and I will make sure that we get to the other side together. He says to you that this morning, he'll say to you that tomorrow morning, he would have said that to you yesterday morning. I don't know how many times I've read this or heard sermons on it or taught it, and I guess for a few of you, you are very familiar with it. And maybe you've got to this point and you're thinking, ah, this is the same old, same old. How many times have I heard this stuff before? Yeah, my life's okay. I can weather the storms. I'm a tough cookie. Well, I wonder if you are thinking that. I do wonder if you might need to just store up some of the truth in this passage for the future. Because if that's how you're feeling today, I'm guessing you've not had your sou'wester out in a very long time. You've not been caught in a fierce, unwelcome storm. Well, whether you have or whether you haven't, if you take Jesus seriously, I would dust off your sou'wester. And for those of you who are too young to know what one of those is, as a cagoule, I'd dust it off. Because you will need it. The storms in life will come. Storms in life will come. My goodness, I like to encourage. It's true. It is so true. We just need to know it. We need to know it not because we want to be miserable and walk around with really kind of glum looks on our faces. We don't want that any more than we want the kind of silly Christian grin, do we? We need to know and be real about life. So why am I being so blunt? I've got to be honest, when I was preparing, I was asking myself that. But then I asked the Lord, that's always a good thing to do when you're preparing, honestly. Then I asked the Lord again. You see, preaching a message that says, you better watch out, you better be aware of the storms, isn't always that easy. Because personally, I don't like being faced with it, and I'm pretty sure you don't either. We don't like being faced with the truth that life in the here and now will include temptations, it'll include attacks from the devil. And we maybe would kind of get that because he's the enemy, but we really, really don't like, I think, the truth that is in this passage. Because it tells us that we will face deliberate tests from our God. Why would God do that? I mean, isn't he supposed to be a God of love? You know, smiling down on us like some kind of benevolent great uncle. No, he's God. Yes, he is a God of love. He's the best father there's ever been, there ever will be. Why would God test us? Let me tell you something that's really, really important before we answer that. And I just want to say, I've already said it just a few seconds ago, but I want to tell you again. God loves you more than you have been or ever will be loved by anyone else. He loves you more than you can ever love anyone else. Now, I remember when I first met Gianna, and you know what it's like when you fall head over heels in love, well, you probably do. Obviously, I'm still head over heels in love. You kind of wonder. I mean, as a Christian, I wasn't a Christian when I met her, and then I became a Christian. And I remember having conversations with Joanna. She might not remember. Saying, yeah, how can I love God more than I love you? It's not right. But we need to. He loves us more than that. He knows that we can share that love, and however much of that we manage to share with one another, it is wonderful. You can still be head over heels in love with somebody and share that love. But God's love for us and our love for him is a different thing. God loves you more than you could ever imagine, if you've tried to imagine it. God's love for you is not more than you could ever experience, though. You can experience God's love, and you should. The thing is, we might put ourselves in a bad situation, but by obedience to God, we will never be put in danger with him. You know, if God says, go and do this, if God says, get in that boat and go to the other side, you're not going to be put in a danger that is too great or wrong. And when you come through it, you will come out stronger. I think that's one of the reasons that God tests us, but why else? Well, as my friend the meerkats would say, simples. It is to teach us to trust what we have been taught. These disciples have been taught huge amounts that day. I wonder if they trusted it. Probably not at that point, it looks like, but they were soon taught they needed to trust what they've been taught. Secondly, again, as the meerkats might say, symbols again is to help us practically apply to our lives the truth of our faith. So find out what we've been taught, really understand it, really interrogate it, really trust it, and then apply it. You see, I can say that I believe, I can even feel I believe, and have that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling inside if you want. That's more emotional than spiritual, I think. I can think I believe, but only when my faith is tested can my faith be trusted. So there we are. As verse 37 reminds us, there is a serious test hitting these disciples. There's a fierce storm that came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Those high waves were way above the boat, way above the disciples' heads, and they're towering in over. It would put a bit of a crimp in your evening, wouldn't it? Let me ask you, is your boat filling with water today? I have to tell you that my boat frequently fills with water. And often when I'm not expecting it. And it can be because I've messed up. It's my own fault. Because I've failed to follow God as I've promised to. It can be that, and in those situations I'm just as guilty and worthy of being thrown overboard like Jonah. But this is not about Jonah. This passage, I want to be clear again, is not about temptation, it's not about disobedience, it's not about failure. Yes, we can do all of those things. And God will welcome us back. This passage is about times of testing and learning. It is not about God disciplining the disciples. It's about God cementing the truth they knew in their heads firmly into their hearts. I bet if you'd have asked any of these tough blokes, you know, these fishermen, these ex-terrorists, these taxmen and others, if you'd have had an interview with them on the beach before they sailed off into the sunset, and if in that interview you had asked them, do you trust Jesus? To a man, their answer would have been, yes, I trust Jesus. Of course I do, you idiot. Why would you even ask me that? Haven't you heard what he's been saying? What a man he is. What a great bloke. And if you'd asked them, do you believe everything he teaches? To a man, their answer would have been, yes, of course I do. And if you'd have asked him, do you think he will ever fail you? To a man, their answer would have been, no, never, he couldn't. Yet an hour later, what do we hear from the boat, above the wind and the rain and the crashing waves, above all of that? We hear a dozen frightened, freaked out, fraught voices shouting, teacher, don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you see the waves around us? We're sinking, and you don't care. What a turnaround. But let's not be too hasty to condemn these blokes. You see, for these men and for you and me, there is a relearning, there's a remoulding, isn't there? There is a reclaiming, a rebuilding, a refurbishing. There's a repurposing and a recreating that needs to happen in yours and my life. As we are rescued by Jesus, as we are reassured by Jesus, we need to be refocused by Jesus and resourced by Jesus to live obedient, humble, holy lives for Jesus. These men were on a journey, and so are we. And we need not forget it. We need not think we're on our backsides having a rest. We're on a journey, and that journey is onwards. There's no stopping. They were on a journey. And along the way, life lessons from the Lord of life, just as it did for those men, will step by step move us forward on with him. You know, a couple of years ago we had these verses from Romans 12, 1 to 2 as our verses for the year. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all of his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. So I do want to encourage you this morning. Do you need encouraging? I can assure you I do. So let's be encouraged by what we read about this storm. As we apply it to our lives, let's be encouraged. As we apply it to our lives, let's not stop at that crisis point. It's so easy, isn't it, when we're in a crisis to have those moments of real self-pity. Woe is me, I am undone. What a state I'm in. Oh, this is dreadful. Nobody's had it as bad as I have. Look at me now. We should never stop at the crisis point, because that's not where Jesus leads us. We are on a journey. Let's reach out for the truth and the hope and the certainty of the punchline. Verse 39, Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, or actually, properly, it's peace. Be still. Suddenly the wind dropped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I wonder how they felt. Because all these waves were suddenly up there and then suddenly there's nothing. And there's Jesus saying, what's the problem? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. I guess that as well as feeling in awe of Jesus, they were also feeling so disappointed in how they had responded themselves. Do you ever feel that? You come through something and you think, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I feel such a fraud. I'm telling everybody that you are amazing. I'm telling everybody that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you created everything out of nothing and you gave everything for me and that you're sustaining me through life, and yet I doubted you again. Or maybe it's just me, but I think these disciples probably felt that as well. I'm sure they felt in awe of Jesus. I'm sure they felt absolutely a full knowledge of who they were too. That's a great way for us to come to God, in awe of him, aware of ourselves. But Jesus doesn't leave them at that point. He gently, lovingly, patiently takes them on with him along their journey with him. We'll see that as we go through Mark. We've seen that as we've gone through John. We've seen that in every aspect of Scripture. That's what God does with us. Here's the simple and I think significant lesson for you and me when we're in the storms of life. Jesus will never leave you at that point. He will gently, lovingly, patiently take you on with him along that journey. And as we close, I just want to leave you with a few bullet points to help you to remember the storms when you're in them. Why you need not panic. Why you need not go for self-pity. Why you need not just give up. Where you can hold on to the truth that God is in control, even when your circumstances tell you the complete opposite. Even when the world around you tells you it's different. First of all, Jesus can be trusted in the storm. It's a fact. If you're being obedient and following God's direction, then whatever sea he has asked you to cross, whatever it is that he's asked you to do and you're going along with him, you have the promise that you will. You will make it to the other side. Because if God sends you, that's where you're going. He's going with you. His instructions are also accompanied by his equipping. That's another point. He tells you to go, and you think, I just can't do this. He asks you to do something and you think, what? I am so ill-equipped. I am the biggest idiot. I couldn't possibly. And God throws you all of the resources you need. Just at the right time. Another point is that God has never and will never, never change his plan, and nothing can make him do it. God's plan is God's plan. When he says, this is my plan for you, this is his plan for you. Another point, better make this the last one or I'll go on forever, won't I? At no point does God promise an easy journey. Have a look through the Bible, you won't find any promises of that. No point does he promise an easy journey. But he does promise to be with us along the way in that journey, and he guarantees a safe arrival. I will say just one other thing from this passage. Honestly, this is the last thing. Are you in any kind of storms in your life today? Then ask Jesus, I would say, to provide that inner peace and that stillness. There will be external difficult roads to travel. The journey will be long and hard going. But I promise you this, and I can promise you this because God promises you this. If you trust him in it, he will rebuke the wind and the waves and bring peace, stillness and calm. Let's pray and thank him. Lord, we do thank you. We thank you that your peace is impossible to describe. It's definitely without understanding. It goes beyond anything, and yet so often we live without it. Lord, we thank you for that peace, and we ask, Lord, I ask for each one of us in this room and for our brothers and sisters who are not here today to know that peace. Lord, in the good days in our lives, help us to know that peace, that we be grounded in you. In the difficult days, Lord, help us to know that peace even when the storm is raging around us. Even when the waves are crashing in on us, Lord, help us to trust you completely as you love us completely. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.